RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, PPATK, will launch Indonesian Financial Intelligence Institute. Australia is urged to put a separatist declaration at Indonesian Consulate General. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center is scheduled to launch the Indonesian Financial Intelligence Institute in Depok West, Java next March. The place will be the largest training and education center of anti-money laundering and terrorism and financing in Southeast Asia. Head of the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin, in Jakarta on Monday said that the institute should be used as part of measures to increase capacity building for law enforcers to reduce the crime of money laundering. He said that the building will be used not only by Indonesians but also foreigners to be able to deal with money laundering.
Diharapkan di gedung itu kita dapat melaksanakan baik itu kita mendidik.
It is expected that the building can be used to educate our human resources not only for the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center but also for law enforcers related to money laundering, national and regional. We will create courses across regions in terms of cooperation so that the anti-money laundering and terrorism financing regime will run well. Furthermore, Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin said that teaching curriculum that will be given at the Institute for Indonesian Financial Intelligence will be provided by the Financial Intelligence Unit and law enforcement official from Indonesia and countries in ASEAN region. Badarudin said the curriculum will focus on needed materials to prevent and combat against money laundering and terrorism financing. Another module is related to the predicated crimes. The institute will also be used as a platform to share experiences of various countries in preventing and combating against money laundering. The Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Setia Novanto, has urged the Australian government to investigate those who raised the Bintan Kejora separatist movement flag at the Indonesian Consulate General in Melbourne, Australia, on Friday, January 6. He said that on Monday that Indonesia has asked Australia to investigate those who raised the flag at this Consulate General in Melbourne and take legal action. That is a criminal offence that cannot be tolerated and punished within a convention of 1961 and 1963. He also remarked that Indonesia has demoted relations with Australia as a host country. It is responsible for the safeguarding the Indonesian government's assets. He said the investigation must be conducted in such a way and there is no repeat of such acts in the future. Indonesian government will evaluate the memorandum of understanding on manpower with Taiwan following the revelation of inhuman treatment against Indonesian sailor working aboard Taiwan flat vessel on international waters. Indonesian manpower ministry official Sus Hindarno said in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia has proposed revision to clauses on recruitment, assignment and protection of workers that was signed by the Indonesian Economic and Trade Office in Taiwan in 2011. So it's explained that the government concern in the revision include the wage increase, working time limits and rights protection of Indonesian workers in Taiwan. He said the ministry may issue a memorandum of understanding Of workers in maritime sector to Taiwan, there are estimated to be tens of thousands of Indonesian sailors currently working on board Taiwanese flat fishing boats operating on the open sea. Indonesia National Freight Carrier Garuda Indonesia is set to commence full operation at the newly built Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten in April. The newly built Terminal 3 is currently only serving the airline's domestic flights, while its international flights are still operating from Terminal 2. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II Director Muhammad Awaluddin said on Monday, Garuda's international flights would move to Terminal 3 starting April, while other SkyTeam member airlines in May. A target has also been set to move all international airlines to Terminal 3 in August. After opening last year, Terminal 3 has yet to fully operate, as not all part of the building had been developed. Terminal 3 is part of Soekarno-Hatta's revitalization program. The Grand Design Soekarno-Hatta Airport program aims to expand the airport's passenger capacity by opening Terminal 3 as well as revitalizing Terminal 1 and 2. The Gajah Mada University UGM in Yogyakarta is currently employing another 200 until 300 foreign lecturers this year to increase their numbers to 1,000 and improve the quality of education on offer. UGM Deputy Rector 1 for Academy and Student Affairs Professor Iwan Dwi Prahasto announced on Monday in Yogyakarta that UGM will increase the number of foreign lecturers. UGM has set the target of employing 200 until 300 more foreign lecturers this year. The university currently is employing some 800 foreign lecturers. Iwan said with the number of foreign lecturers reaching 1,000 to 1,100, they will make up 25 until 27% of the total number of lecturers working for the UGM. The foreign lecturer currently represent 19% of the UGM lecturers. Indonesia Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita said the price increase of chili is caused by climate factor. It caused the commodity and damage and lowering the chili supply to the people. He told the press at the trade minister on Monday that when chili is harvested in a rainy season, the damage would be more acute. The condition will be more worsened by a long process of shipping to anticipate a lowering supply. The trade minister, in coordinating with the agriculture minister, sent the chili from surplus regions to lack of commodity regions. We send the commodity from the surplus regions to the minus ones. The cooperation between Trade Minister and Agriculture Minister to get balance can be done properly. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita also said that currently that begin to decline prices of red chili in many areas. The significant increase of chili price only for the red cayenne. While for the Thai big red chili, the green cayenne tends to be decreased and the production is still sufficient, even surplus. The last item, Financial Service Authority OJK has stated that the amount of funds repatriated through the tax amnesty program at the end of 2016 will support banks' financing structure this year. Indonesian banks are also expecting additional cash flow from the program this year, OJK's executive for banking supervision Nelson Tampubolon said on Monday. That as of January 2017, the total amount of funds repatriated by the tax amnesty program has reached more than 100 trillion rupiah. With a target of 143 trillion rupiah, there is a potential of 43 trillion rupiah coming to the national banking system this year. Most of the funds are deposited in banks, although there is also a small portion allocated to non-bank financial service firms. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled War Against False News. The incessant coverage on the arrival of tens of millions of workers from China to Indonesia some time ago has disturbed the Indonesian public. The news has forced Indonesian President Joko Widodo to give explanation. After having been examined, it turns out the news was only figment, none other than the false news, or among internet users, it is popularly called hoax. What is actually false news or hoax that has recently seems to be endemic among Indonesian internet users? In English, hoax means false news made to trick the people. Initially, it was made as a joke, but in its development, now hoax is a term used to defraud or circumvent the reader or listener to believe something. One widely circulated hot apple is the threat of an asteroid hit Earth, which caused the apocalypse. NASA in 2015 had denied the rumors. Then why do Indonesian people seem to like spreading false news or hoax? It seems to be related to the use of technology that is not accompanied by critical culture in seeing various issues. The Indonesian internet users tend to like to disseminate information or news to someone else without firstly checking the truth. Some even feel they are more advanced or great being the first to spread the information which source is not clear. Whether the news is true or not, the spreading of hoaxes becomes more massive due to online sites and social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and other social media. In the internet, the hoax spreader is safer because he does not have to deal directly with the aggrieved person or the target of the hoax. This has caused the unrest of President Joko Widodo, so as he beats the world drums against the disturbing hoaxes or false news. The government invites the public to aggressively fight the hoax news if they do not want this nation destroyed. A hoax can't divide the nation as the people will be consumed by a slander issue. People should be more critical in passing information on the internet or social media. Don't just believe and spread. Do check and recheck the truth. If the information is not clear and detrimental, stop and do not forward or share the information to others. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Saturday World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. Let's begin with January 10, 1973. The Indonesian Democratic Party is founded. The Indonesian Democratic Party is the party which is the result of the fusion or merger of some political parties, among others, the Indonesian National Party, the Party Congress of the People, Association of Supporters of Indonesian Independence, and also two religious parties, Indonesian Christian Party and Catholic Party. Indonesian Democratic Party, the largest mass, is derived from the Indonesian National Party, the party founded by Sukarno with a mass base in East Java and Central Java. Along its journey in the national political scene, in 1993, the Indonesian Democratic Party suffered a split. The party was subsequently transformed into the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, led by Megawati. Next is from 1946. The first General Assembly of the United Nations opens in London. 51 nations are represented. The United Nations General Assembly is one of the six principal organs of the United Nations and the only one in which all member nations have equal representation. Its powers are to oversee the budget of the United Nations, appoint the non-permanent members to the Security Council, receive reports from other parts of the United Nations, and make recommendations in the form of General Assembly resolution. It has also established a wide number of subsidiary organs. The first session was convened on January 10, 1946 in the Westminster Central Hall in London and included representatives of 51 nations. The last event is from 1920, where the Treaty of Versailles takes effect, officially ending World War I. The Treaty of Versailles was one of the peace treaties at the end of World War I. It ended the state of war between Germany and the Allied powers. It was signed on June 28, 1919, exactly 5 years after the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. The other central powers of the German side of the World War I were dealt with in a separate treaties. Although the armistice signed on November 11, 1918 ended the actual fighting, it took 6 months of negotiation at the Paris Peace Conference to conclude the peace treaty. The treaty was registered by the Secretariat of League of Nations on October 21, 1919. Listener, that was Today in History of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. This is Arrival Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is the development of small and medium enterprises through digital transactions. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, while delivering a science state papers on the development of digital economy in the 54th anniversary of Brawijaya University in Malanis, Japan, on last Tuesday, said the Indonesian government continues to improve the quality of micro, small, and medium enterprises development. To support it, every digital transaction activity must be an inclusive movement that involves all parties, including the small and medium enterprises themselves. As quoted by Kompas.com, Minister Nasution said, business units, in particular small and medium enterprises, should be encouraged to go digital. That's because the entrepreneurship has an important contribution to economic growth. So it is expected that a wide range of people from government, the business world and other stakeholders can provide support. In fact, the development of new businesses has become the determining factor of economic strength to survive in the dynamic global economy. It can be seen from the experience of Indonesia on the economic crisis in 1998 and 2008. Minister Darmin Nasution further said, in the middle of the fall of many large companies at the time, new businesses of small and medium enterprise scale could grow and flourish. They are more flexible in responding to the changes in budget in the form of diversification. Small and medium enterprise excellence was judged necessary to collaborate with the development of online commerce or e-commerce. The government believes that many benefits can be gained by small and medium enterprises businesses if they go digital. They include the ease of market expansion, more efficient supply chain, marketing and promotion of products more easily, and transaction costs will be lower. On the other hand, the Global Entrepreneurship and Development Institute, USAID, has released the Global Entrepreneurship Index 2017. Globally, Indonesia ranks 19 out of 137 countries. Minister Nasution also views that the low ranking shows that Indonesia has not been able to process the advantage of a very large market, so Indonesia should improve the ability to utilize technology and innovation. Meanwhile, as quoted by Antara News Agency, Secretary of Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Agus Muharram, said in Jakarta on last Friday that the contribution of cooperatives and micro, small and medium enterprises to gross domestic product GDP will continue to increase as more and more empowerments are conducted. Agus also explained that so far the contribution of small and medium enterprises to GDP is quite large, reaching more than 61%. As many as 98.4% of it was contributed by micro businesses with assets under 50 million rupiah and a turnover of 300 million rupiah per year. Agus also aims to increase the competitiveness and productivity of the small and medium enterprises growth on average by 5 to 7% annually. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The Indonesian Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center is scheduled to launch the Indonesian Financial Intelligence Institute in Depok, West Java next March. The Speaker of Indonesian House of the Representatives DPR, Setia Novanta, has urged the Australian government to investigate those who raised the Bintan Gejora Separatist Movement flag at the Indonesian Consulate General in Melbourne, Australia on Friday, 6 January. Indonesian government will evaluate the memorandum of understanding on manpower with Taiwan following the revelation of inhuman treatment against Indonesian sailors working on board Taiwan flag vessel on international waters. Indonesian national flag carrier Garuda Indonesia is set to commence full operation at the newly built Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten in April. The Gajah Mada University UGM in Yogyakarta is considering employing another 200 until 300 foreign lecturers this year to increase their numbers to 1,000 and improve the quality of education on offer. UGM Deputy Rector Wand for Academy and Student Affairs Professor Iwan Dwi Prahasto announced on Monday in Yogyakarta that UGM will increase the number of foreign lecturers. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita said the price increase of chili is caused by climate sector. It caused the community damage and lowered the chili supply to the people. Financial Service Authority, OJK, has stated the amount of funds repatriated through the tax amnesty program at the end of 2016 will support banks' financial structure this year. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to travel to Manado, North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, traveling at the beginning of 2017 is very interesting if you come to the city of Manado, North Sulawesi. In January, there are a variety of interesting travel agenda in Manado. One of them, Pesta Kunci Taong or Taong Ki Party. Kunci Taong is one of the traditions of the people of Manado held since many years ago. Kunci Taong has always held as a separate tradition from the old year to the new year because the word kunci or key itself mean locking or closing the past year. This tradition is unique because men wearing women's clothes and women wearing men's clothes, or it can also wearing a variety of unique costumes. Listener, during the Kunci Taong ceremony, people visit each other from house to house in a group while bringing strange instruments and singing every Sunday throughout the month of January. They sing while dancing. They also bring musical instruments such as guitar, jug or ukulele, tambor and violin. The peak of Kunci Taong ceremony is last week of January. At the peak of Kunci Taong ceremony is usually held figura parrot. Figura comes from the Latin language figur or figure. Figura has appeared several hundred years ago in the coast of Manado Gulf. Seeing from the journey, figura is adapted from the art and culture of classical Greek art. The art was firstly brought by Spanish sailors who stopped over and live around the port of Gulf Manado. Figura art is closer to the pantomime art or the art to imitate the behavior or character of a famous or well-known figure. This year, listener, Manado City Government said Figura Parade will be held on January 29, 2017. The location of performance along the route of Megas Mas. At the carnival, the children and adults will be dressed as soldiers, police, doctors, and other characters. Besides, a variety of cultural expression of North Sulawesi are also displayed. Thank you.
Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pesta Kunci Taong. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mencukur rambut, or in English, to have a haircut. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. Mencukur rambut. Mencukur rambut. In English, to have a haircut. Sekitar. Sekitar. In English, around. Kantor. Kantor. In English, office. Tempat mencukur rambut. Tempat mencukur rambut. In English, barbershop. Bersih. Bersih. In English, clean. Bagus. Bagus. In English, nice or good. Belakang. Belakang. In English, at the back or behind. Jalan lurus. Jalan lurus. In English, go straight. Lampu lalu lintas. Lampu lalu lintas. In English, traffic light. Belok kanan. Belok kanan. In English, turn right. Kiri jalan. Kiri jalan. In English, left side of the street. Rumah. Rumah. In English, house. Pintu. Pintu. In English, door. Merah. Merah. In English, red. Gundul. Gundul. In English, bolt. Akhir-akhir ini. Akhir-akhir ini. In English, lately. Udara. Udara. In English, the weather. Panas. Panas. In English, hot. Kecil. Kecil. In English, small. Nyaman. Nyaman. In English, nice. Tukang cukur. Tukang cukur. In English, barber. Terampil. Terampil. In English, skillful. Tarif. Tarif. In English, price. Cocok. Cocok. In English, to suit. Kantong. Kantong. In English, pocket. Berangkat bersama. Berangkat bersama. In English, go together. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor. In English, after office. Minum. Minum. In English, to drink. Kopi. Kopi. In English, coffee. Next is a conversation on mencukur rambut, or in English, to have a haircut. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Tono and Budi at the office. A. Budi, Tahukah kamu tempat mencukur rambut di sekitar kantor? Budi, tahukah kamu tempat mencukur rambut di sekitar kantor? In English, Budi, do you know any barbershop around the office? B, ya, tidak jauh dari kantor ada tempat cukur rambut yang bersih dan bagus. Ya, tidak jauh dari kantor ada tempat cukur rambut yang bersih dan bagus. In English, yes, not far from the office there is a clean and nice barbershop. Dari belakang kantor, kamu jalan lurus. Dari belakang kantor, kamu jalan lurus. In English, from the back of the office, you just go straight. Setelah lampu lalu lintas, kamu belok kanan. Setelah lampu lalu lintas, kamu belok kanan. After the traffic light, you turn right. In English, after the traffic light, you turn the right. Di sebelah kiri jalan, ada rumah yang pintunya merah. Di sebelah kiri jalan, ada rumah yang pintunya merah. In English, on the left side of the street, there are a house with a red door. Itulah tempatnya. Itulah tempatnya. In English, there it is. A. Saya mau mencukur gundul rambut saya. Saya mau mencukur gundul rambut saya. In English, I want to have my hair shaved. Karena akhir-akhir ini udara sangat panas. Karena akhir-akhir ini udara sangat panas. In English, because it's been very hot lately. B. Walaupun kecil, tempat cukur rambut itu bersih. Walaupun kecil, tempat cukur rambut itu bersih. In English, although it is small, the barbershop is clean. Setelah cukur, biasanya kita akan dipijat sedikit. Setelah cukur, biasanya kita akan dipijat sedikit. In English, after the haircut, usually you'll be given a little massage. Nyaman sekali. Nyaman sekali. In English, it's so nice. Selain tukang cukurnya terampil, tarifnya juga tidak mahal. Selain tukang cukurnya terampil, tarifnya juga tidak mahal. In English, in addition to the skillful barber, the price is not expensive. A. Wah, cocok sekali dengan kantong saya. Wah, cocok sekali dengan kantong saya. In English, wow, it suit my pocket then. B. Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau setelah pulang kantor kita ke sana? Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau setelah pulang kantor kita ke sana? In English, in that case, how about going there after the office? Setelah itu, kita minum kopi bersama. Setelah itu, kita minum kopi bersama. In English, after that, we can have some coffee. A. Baiklah, sampai nanti. Baiklah, sampai nanti. In English, alright, see you then. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, I'm Nika Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in our segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll play some dangdut songs from Ikke Nurjanah. Stay tuned. Listener, the song that you have just listened entitled Gantung sung by Ikke Nurjanah. The song, which was composed by Melly Goeslaw, firstly sung by Melly with its original version of pop genre. Ikke then rearranged the song into a dangdut version. The song tells the story about the uncertainty of love, which finally ended with separation. The music of the song is different from other dangdut music in general. It is more fresh with acoustic touch, so that the song presents with an easy listening music. Due to the acoustic touch in its music, Ikke Nurjanah named the music as Dutkustic music. Ikke then launched her album, I Love Dutkustic, in 2015. Well, listener, coming up next, will introduce you to the next song by Ikke Nurjanah entitled Terlena. Happy listening.
Masih terngiang di telingaku bisik cintamu, betapa lembut dan mesranya aku terlena. But
Listener, I Love Dutko Steak was the first album of Ikke Nurjanah in the last 12 years. The singer of Kau Selalu Milikmu has released an album entitled Dua Dalam Satu or Two in One in 2004. The music brought in this album is actually unique. The drum of Dangdut made more balanced and smooth with a bandage acoustic guitar. With Dutko Steak genre, it is expected to change the image of Dangdut becomes easier to be heard and more relaxed. According to Ikke, with this breakthrough, it is expected to widen the market share in order Dangdut music will really become masters in the country. From the 11 songs which included in this album, Ikke Nurjanah not include her new songs. Ikke deliberately choose the recycled songs which have ever became the hit songs, like Tentang Rasa by Astrid and Gantung composed by Melly Goeslaw, to be more focused on the concept of the music. One of her songs that recycle included in the album entitled Terlena. The song that was originally released in the 90s tells the story of someone who was immersed in love and she hoped her lovers can happily ever after. Compared with the first music, of course Terlena of Dutko Steak version is more fresh and easy listening. Still in the same album, I Love Dutko Steak, we present the last two songs entitled Tentang Rasa and Gerimis Mengundang to conclude today's segment of Music Corner. Well, listener, let's listen to the songs entitled Tentang Rasa and Gerimis Mengundang by Ikke Nurjanah. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Just a smile to make your world come alive. The people around you light it up to make you feel alright. You live in this very dream, trying to make career. It might not be that hard to reach if only you
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.